Handoff, Kareem Hunt, right side, powering, he is, give it to him, touchdown, Kansas City, it's a walk-off touchdown by Kareem Hunt, and the Kansas City Chiefs stay undefeated at 8-0.
Who else? Mitch Holthus on Chiefs radio overtime, but the Chiefs get the win. What else is new? 8-0 now on the season. Perloff in a game where the Bucs really took it to the Chiefs, but a couple key mistakes, in my opinion, by the Bucs really handed this back to Kansas City, and now they march on. They got Denver next week, so I assume that's another W. There's just nothing they can't survive, the Chiefs.
Why would you assume that? I mean, this, like, they took the ghost of a Bucs team to overtime. That, I came away with like, ooh, Kansas City is dying to lose a game. Like they were they should have won that game by 21 points, and they just are so conservative on offense. They're like, we're just gonna beat you at the end. But guess what? You can't win every coin flip game until the end of time. But at a certain
Who says?
A Bills fan. Because I saw it with the Patriots. The Patriots were the best team. Eventually you lose coin flip games, and it doesn't look like they want to beat anybody by more than 6 points.
Man, it's so funny that you and I just see this so differently. You see it as they should have blown out the Bucs team. I get that. I also think Todd Bowles had a little something ready. He's a good defensive coach. I thought they made a major miscalculation when they go and score what would have been eventually was the tying touchdown. You have an opportunity to go for two in bad weather on the road against the Chiefs. Do you think you can get one play, or do you think you can actually stop the Chiefs on a drive? And I know they had stopped them before with the three timeouts and forced the three and out that even allowed the Bucs to get a second bite at the apple to tie the game. But I see it as, look at all the things the Chiefs have overcome in this game. You've got two guys on the offense who may be the two most important people outside of Kelsey and the offensive linemen in DeAndre Hopkins and Kareem Hunt, who are guys who just got there. They look like they've been in the offense now. I know Hunt was there before. They look like they've been in the offense forever. Hopkins, 8 for 86, 2 touchdowns. This is a team that I thought Mahomes gets hurt at the first play of the fourth quarter. You're thinking, oh no, here comes Carson Wentz. How hilarious is that because of our relationship with Wentz on the show? And they still overcame it in the bad weather.
Wentz definitely would have won that game. Can we all agree on that? He looked ready to go.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's a high-end backup. And they said on the broadcast, like everyone in Kansas City is like, wow, why is this guy our backup? He's really good.
Well, he never got in the game because Patrick Mahomes is superhuman.
Wouldn't the irony be if Wentz came in as a backup in the playoffs and won the Super Bowl when the exact opposite happened to him in 2017 where he got hurt in his MVP season and Nick Foles took over? Full circle becomes Nick Foles.
Right,
work with me here. That is a movie script. But that being said, I mean, the Chiefs have these long, long drives that they're just dying to turn the ball over. You saw it last night. They let the Bucs back in because Kelsey fumbled.
Yep.
And
that's rare.
They have these giant negative plays. I don't think Xavier Worthy's very good. He cost them a touchdown early. They definitely, they went to overtime against a team whose starting wide receivers were Sterling Shepard and Josh Palmer or Trey Palmer or somebody Palmer. Like, this was not a good Bucs team, and they probably should have lost. If they didn't get that huge face mask call, then I think the Bucs were, which wasn't a face mask, probably a hold. The Bucs were going to come down and take a 2-score lead and not let it go. I think they could lose to anybody because they are not beating anybody by more than a touchdown. Who could they be? They just took the Raiders to a 1-touchdown game. Raiders.
That's a division game.
And Wait, what team have they beaten by more than a touchdown?
But Perloff, it's not college. You don't have to go for style points.
But you can't win all these close games. You just can't, Maggie.
There ain't no. I'm watching them do it year after year.
The Eagles were 10-1 last year, and you could see the water coming onto the boat. I think the Chiefs will clearly get it together in the postseason, but they're itching to blow a game.
Okay, but last year, this is totally different. The Eagles were 10-1, and it turns out that the head coach and the quarterback couldn't stand each other. This is not that. This is not a Chiefs team that seems that there's like any kind of fractures in the inner workings here. Unless the wives and girlfriends are going to start going at it, I don't think there's anything. Like, the chemistry appears to be completely fine, and I don't think it matters about the margin. You know, we saw last year, we saw the Ravens were blowing teams out.
Right.
You know, what happened when it got to the AFC Championship game? Who cares then? You know, the Chiefs playing, you can look at it the totally opposite way, which is the Chiefs win these close games. They are battle tested. And we know they're already battle tested. They're already the boogeyman. So to me, it doesn't matter how many touchdowns they win by. The fact is they always find a way to win.
I don't have time to pull the metrics, but I would bet it's the opposite way. I would bet Super Bowl teams win blowouts. I'll bet you point differential does matter. I mean, the Ravens were a fluke last year. They lost at home, and their offensive coaching just fell apart in the playoffs. They just got nervous. I think if you look at the history of the NFL, margin of victory does matter.
Okay, but this is not your average, normal, you know, we're talking a lot about data points and stuff, yeah, considering it's election day and such. You can't apply any of that, I don't think, to the Chiefs, because they're on a different plane right now. You want to go back to the Bills, maybe, the third straight Super Bowl or whatever, but that's going back to the 90s. The league's so different then, and Mahomes is so different. So I don't think all that, I'm not throwing out all your data. I'm just saying I don't know if a lot of it applies.
I just got the sense last night that the Chiefs don't care that much about the regular season games. It didn't feel like they put the pedal to the metal. I felt like they're like, you know what? We're going to be conservative here. I felt like there's a different, almost like it's a preseason game and they're hiding things from the for the Bills in the playoffs.
Oh my gosh.
I really do think like this is, I mean, their defense, their offense is so vanilla. I mean, I heard a stat, they average 4.6 yards per play. I mean, that is not going to get it done.
Well, did they're you see what happened when they tried a trick play? That was a disaster. So maybe they should be more vanilla.
But they're definitely holding something back because this is clearly not the Chiefs offense that I knew as a young man.
Yes, it's not your father's. Here's the thing. You think that they were not actually putting their pedal to the metal here,
yes,
or like
definitely
not trying to win. I think the exact opposite way. And you want to know why I think they are not only, this is their version of pedal to the metal, I think they're going for the undefeated season. And the way that I, and the evidence that I had of that last night is what Patrick Mahomes has an ankle injury in week, what week are we? Nine? Mm-hmm. Week nine, when you already have blown away the division, there's no reason for Mahomes to finish that game. That's how I know that they are actually trying to win all of these games, and I think they are going for the undefeated season as the cherry on top of this three-peat that's going to make Mahomes put Brady, like, in a blender. And because why, honestly, Pearl, I know Mahomes came back and played well, but he's definitely, you know, that ankle, something happened. I mean, he did have to get helped off the field. If you're really just preserving yourself for the playoffs, why does he go back in the game?
I'm an Eagles fan. There are no such thing as Patrick Mahomes' ankle injuries. It's all fake. Yes. Dude was jogging up and down the field 2 minutes later. I've had many ankle injuries. I totally get it. I just, going for an undefeated season or not going for an undefeated season, they're not going to have an undefeated season. I just don't think, I really don't think they're playing that way right now. They, you know, even the defense, which has been great, like, Baker looked pretty darn comfortable in the second half of that game, and this is with no wide receivers. Throwing to, he had one target. It was Kate Otten, his tight end. I just think that, ooh, the Chiefs are messing around a little bit, and they're going to find out at some point. They went to overtime at home against an injury-ridden losing team. So what out of that makes you say, oh, they're going to run the table for the second half of the season? Honestly, I feel like they're going to take a couple games off. I don't. And also,
would they
saying,
have last night though? If when Mahomes
Tampa Bay
sprains
like,
the ankle in the first play of the fourth quarter, basically.
Yeah, no, I don't see it. I mean, he was fine.
But this is an AFC versus the NFC. If you were going to say this is the game that means very little next week, you could say you got Denver coming up. They're going to beat Denver soundly, obviously.
Wait. No, I
but
don't.
But that
think so.
Means way more.
Soundly, what? 24-17. What
they're
is soundly?
They're going to beat them.
Look at these scores. They beat Baltimore 27-20. Edge Cincinnati 26-25, Atlanta 22-17, Chargers 17-10. That's a game they'll probably lose. New Orleans, the awful New Orleans Saints, 26-13. That's their biggest win of the year.
Yeah, but that was like week, I think the Saints were still a shadow of a team.
I think that was, I don't know.
They were gone.
Yeah.
What
did they
do to the 49ers?
I mean,
beat them by 10 on the road. Are you not impressed? Are you not entertained?
No. Against the Niners? That Niners team? How many players do the Niners have in uniform?
I know, but it's on the road. It's an NFL game, Perloff. This is not college. This isn't, you know, playing Northwest Southeast State University. You're not trying to impress the committee here.
So let me ask, do you think they will go undefeated based on what you saw last night?
I'll tell you this. I think they're going for the undefeated season. Whether they actually get it, I'm looking at the rest of their schedule, and they've won in Buffalo before. So it's Broncos at the Bills, at the Panthers. Raiders are terrible. They already beat the Chargers on the road. Then they get them at home. The Browns are awful. The Texans' offense is also not awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got the Steelers. That one could be interesting. That's the second to last week of the season. And then the last week with the Broncos might mean absolutely jack squat, and it probably will. Because they're going to have the division wrapped up. Do they already have it wrapped up, right?
Yeah.
Basically.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Steelers game might not mean anything.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I just think that I disagree with you that margin of victory doesn't matter. Numbers do matter. They're borderline a top 10 offense, borderline a top 10 defense. Like, at some point, you know, you just can't chip down the field and hand the ball off 30 times a game and wait for the other team's waiting for you to make a mistake on those drives. And that was Todd Bowles' strategy last night. I thought he did not put a lot of pressure on Mahomes. At a certain point, like, one of these mistakes is going to hurt them. And also, the other thing, too, is, like, I think people are on to the officiating. Like, every call against the Chiefs, fair or not. I don't think the officiating was much of an issue last night. I thought it was pretty even.
Well, the but face every call, was silly.
At a certain point, they're not going to get a call. And that's going to also cost them. There's going to be a bad call against them. So far, they've kind of gotten most of the good calls. But I'm not into the conspiracy theory that they need the Chiefs to be competitive because Taylor Swift's in the crowd. But I do think, like, if you play every game within a touchdown, eventually a call is going to go against you, a turnover is going to go against you. So I have no faith in them getting to undefeated, which, by the way, that's what we're talking about right now. I have a lot of faith in them in the playoffs.
Of course, getting to the Super Bowl. They were 12 for 18 on third down last night.
Yeah, I know.
I mean,
is that good or bad? Well, is that good or bad? Like, they need.
It's fantastic.
You're not going to get 80% on third down against every defense the rest of the way. Like, the fact that they had to get to that many third downs, this is, again, like, I'm sure, like, Andy Reid's like, what has happened to my offense? What is this?
No, see, I look at it the totally other way. They lost all these weapons, right?
Uh-huh.
They actually, I think, went into the season saying, we're going to try for more explosive plays. You got Xavier Worthy, the speed guy. You got Rice. You feel like you got Hollywood Brown. Like, if you look at the breadcrumbs that they were laying out for the season, you thought they were actually going to go back to the Tyreek Hill era.
But they have none of that.
Well, it's because the guys got injured, so they had to pivot. And look at the great job. They've pivoted. They've had to bring two major guys in on the offense, and they're undefeated.
We're
basically at midseason.
But last night's game was certainly not impressive. They went to overtime against an injured Bucs team in Kansas City, in maybe the rain helped. I don't know. But that definitely, like, they easily could have lost last night to a team that they should soundly beat. I mean, most of the playoffs, like, if that game, there are a lot of, the Ravens would have killed that Bucs team. I think the Chargers would have beaten that Bucs team soundly. Like, this was, all you had to do was watch out for the running backs coming out of the backfield and cover Kate Otten, and boom, the Bucs had nothing.
Man, if the Chargers play the Bucs, I don't even know who would be favored in that game. To say they'd beat them soundly is insane.
I think the Bucs are down.
Well, they've lost four of their last five, and they have major injuries too, and it doesn't look like the cavalry is coming to help them. The Chiefs are aggressive. You know, they needed help. They needed Hunt. They needed DeAndre Hopkins. And, you know, they're not letting it go. And the defense is good enough. I'm curious. It's so funny. We see this totally different. I'm curious about the audience. 855-212-4227. How do you see the Chiefs? More dangerous than ever or more vulnerable than ever?
Well,
regular season. I'm not going to go. I mean,
we're taking it one week at a time.
I mean, I think they clearly are working on things in the regular season, which is funny because they're 8-0. But I'm sure we're going to see a different thing in the postseason. Chiefs always say, the regular season is the preseason for them. It works, but it's not working the way they want to. They do not want to go to overtime at home against a wide receiver-less Bucs team. That is not part of the plan.
Well, it might not be ideal, but again, they still won. I guess I don't see these major changes coming for them. Like, they go on these long, sustained drives. Yes, there's opportunities there for mistakes and such, but they aren't a very penalized team. They don't make mistakes. They're phenomenal on third down. And they do ball control.
Yeah,
you could look at that when they play actually some of the better quarterbacks in the league when they're going up against the Lamar Jacksons and Joe Burrows and the Josh Allens. That's actually a great strategy.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's probably going to win them another Super Bowl. Maybe. Even that, like, look at last year's Super Bowl. They won 25-22. Could have easily gone the other way. Like, how many coin flips are you going to win? You knew last night when Baker Mayfield was standing out there with midfield with Patrick Mahomes that Mayfield was definitely losing that coin toss. So you've got to go heads in that situation. But regardless, like, you cannot. I just think if you look at it analytically, like, these tight games mean something.
855-212-4227. And of course, Mahomes downplays the whole ankle thing after the game. He's going to be fine.
Whatever. I saw him limping into the locker room in Glendale, Arizona with the Eagles up 24-14, and he didn't miss a pass in the second half and scrambled like crazy. The other thing, too, like, these close games is forcing Mahomes to run around way too much.
The Chiefs have won their last eight games when trailing at halftime, including the postseason. Yeah. Say that again. Literally. 855-212-4227. Regular season Chiefs, that's fine. We're taking it week by week. What are we rushing things for?
Do they get another player, by the way? That's another question. We have the trade deadline today. What I feel like they're missing one little piece that they'll probably get.
How many more guys do you want to put on the Chiefs?
Apparently they need a cornerback, and when they want something, it seems like they get
them. Oh, awesome. Gosh. Bring Marshawn Lattimore. Phenom.
Yeah, yeah. I don't actually, I wonder, like, everybody wants the Cleveland guy.
Z'Darrius Smith?
No, Newsom.
Oh. So,
yeah, I could just see the Chiefs getting a shutdown guy who will clamp down on Keon Coleman in the playoffs. Oh,
that's great.
I got Joe Buck just bringing up casually 13 seconds. Like, and Bills fans know, don't need a lot of time on the clock. It's like, yeah, we know. Everyone knows. All right?
I was curious, what are your thoughts? Remember draft night, the Chiefs drafting Xavier Worthy was like the worst thing that ever happened to Maggie Gray.
It was. I took it personally.
Yeah.
But unlike Michael Jordan, I can do nothing about it.
Can you admit you were wrong?
Not yet. Nope.
Oh, that's a Xavier Worthy I knew at Texas. That is, yeah.
By the way, he was getting totally destroyed on social media last night. I understand it was a lack of awareness of where he was. He ended up going out of bounds, so they ruled it not a catch. It was just an incompletion because he was out of bounds. I understand that. The avalanche, at least on my timeline, of vitriol that he got was completely out of whack. This is the first drive of the game. It was totally out of whack with what actually happened. The guy's a rookie. He's going to make some mistakes, and you've got another hour to make up for it, and you're the Chiefs.
Well, it's not even that. It's just the fact that he was so easy to tackle on the reverse. And there was another run where he just, like, a guy breathed on him and he went down. And then he had another drop.
Okay, but here's the thing. This is halfway through his rookie year.
Yeah,
Wait till we get to the postseason. If he makes one big play, it's worth it.
No, it's not. This is a first-round pick. Like, they could just pull a Mecole Hardman out. A million guys could make one big play for the Chiefs.
Hardman was there last night.
They could get a seventh-round pick to make one big play. That was a first-round pick, and I think they took the wrong guy. I have that sense. Not that Keon Coleman, like Leggett's probably better than him. I think Coleman might be better than him, but because there's no maybe it's the way they're designed. There's just no, doesn't feel like they have any chance at a bomb. They had one sort of bomb because Mahomes threw the ball in the air to DeAndre Hopkins, who was triple teamed at the time, by the way.
He's amazing. 855-212-4227. I mean, sheesh. DeAndre Hopkins, 2 touchdowns last night, 8 catches, 86 yards, and big stuff.
And thank God for him. Can you imagine what they would have done in the red zone without him?
They'll find someone else.
Yeah.
Okay, do you see the Chiefs as more vulnerable than ever, more dangerous than ever? 855-212-4227. We have got to stop this run that we're on right now. And I just have a plea and a beg to everyone in the NFL community. If you're going to fire your coach, can you do it like at 9:30 a.m. Eastern as opposed to 10:01 the moment we get off the air?
Yeah.
This has happened now with Robert Saleh, Dennis Allen yesterday.
Mm. I'm actually
there was also a trade. Devontae Adams.
Adams, 10:02.
Yeah.
Can they just start waking up earlier?
I'm perfectly good missing the Dennis Allen is fired story. Should never been the coach. I don't care if you fire him. Like, I want to know what's going on in that front office that you brought him back this year.
Crazy. 855-212-4227. So we'll get to some of the news that we have of the day. Lots to do here. We got a lot of college football. We got a lot of NFL. College basketball is underway. We know our audience, you guys love college hoops. We're going to get you set for that season as well. It's Maggie and Perloff.
All right, sports fans, listen up. 1 in 8 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer, and bladder leaks can be a side effect. That's why Depend is teaming up with the Prostate Cancer Foundation to encourage screening. Because health is a long game, and it's yours to win. Now, here's the cool part. Through November, Depend is contributing up to $300,000 to prostate cancer research by donating 40 cents for every purchase of shields, guards, and RealFit products. Void in Mississippi. Learn more at Depend.com. All right, welcome back to Maggie and Perloff Show. I mean, obviously, I think we have to mention it. It's a huge day. We've been preparing for this for a while. I know everyone's nervous. Trade deadline today, and I'm sure my Eagles are going to make a move.
Yeah, that's the only thing going on today.
Yeah, I mean, do the Niners get a receiver? I'm curious about that. Do the Lions get a pass rusher? Can we get Max Crosby? I really think that the Dolphins should just sell everybody and give Tyreek Hill to a contender. But we'll see. America waits on that. Meanwhile, in Dallas, I don't know if there's any move they can make because you said it yesterday, and now I'm agreeing with you. I tried to fight back and say the Cowboys season was still alive, but I can't put a fork in it. It's done, Maggie.
Not only is it done, and I hate to do this because this guy's done nothing to deserve it, but the shine's going to come off of Cooper Rush here pretty fast. Because think about it. The Cowboys were playing terrible with Dak Prescott. The run game is not what it was when Cooper Rush took over 2 years ago. The defense is still injured. This is not the same team that he's taking over
when he went
4-1. Wow. This is a reeling Cowboys team that was, quite frankly, probably looking for a reason to quit.
I can't go with you on that. Cooper Rush is going to give you completely adequate backup quarterback football.
It's not his fault. I don't think he has a prayer. The team's not good enough. The offensive line isn't good enough when the last time he took over. The run game's not good enough. The defense isn't what it was. It's a different team.
I don't know. I'm not sure I see it that way. I don't think Cooper Rush is going to be like Tim Boyle was for the Jets.
Well, nothing's going
to
be that bad.
Cooper Rush is like, they'll tailor the offensive game to him. They're not going to make him do anything crazy, and they're not going to be a high-octane offense, but I think that Cooper Rush gives him a chance to stay in games for sure.
Who's he throwing to? Dak Prescott could keep him a chance to stay in games. I mean, that's not fair. Dak was keeping them in games, but Dak wasn't playing well.
Ooh.
The team is not awesome around him, and who's Cooper throwing to? CeeDee Lamb's hurt now. He's going to play through it. He's got the shoulder. So Brandon Cooks is on IR. Who else are you throwing to?
If they had Tyreek Hill, Devontae Adams, and I don't know, Deebo Samuel, like, it doesn't matter. Cooper Rush can't hit a receiver downfield anyway. He's a throw the ball to the running back tight end guy.
Who?
Anybody. He's a throw, but he doesn't need receivers. Cooper Rush is not hitting your receiver 45 yards downfield on a fly route, Maggie. That's not happening anyway. Cooper Rush is going to be a very conservative offense, and the Cowboys' formula was, okay, we have Cooper Rush in there. Let's let the defense cook. Maybe the defense comes back. I'm not saying that they're going to get to the playoffs or anything like that, but if the defensive players decide to come back, like, the Cooper Rush formula will win some games against bad teams. It just, I mean, I'm basing that on history.
Okay, but they don't have a lot of bad teams on the schedule outside of the New York Giants. Your Eagles next week, the Texans, Commanders is now a really tough game. Giants, Bengals, okay, at the Panthers, good luck there. You can probably win that game. Bucks, Eagles, Commanders. This is not the walkovers. And by the way, this is a reeling team that's lost three in a row. And I don't know what you're expecting. Like, Micah Parsons is not going to be some kind of miracle worker here.
Well, I mean, like, you say those games. The Eagles, you're right. The Eagles are playing well, but they have Nick Sirianni. The Texans are not playing well. The Texans are not a good team right now. They almost lost to the Colts. Like, they're going to keep that game close. The way the Texans are playing right now, I don't see them blowing out anybody in Dallas. Then the Commanders, that's a big unknown. The Commanders should beat the Cowboys, obviously, but I think you have no idea when in a divisional game.
I don't know. I think Dan Quinn's got something cooked up probably for the Dallas Cowboys. If anyone knows the offense, it's going to be their former defensive coordinator. I don't see this Cooper Rush to the rescue stuff. And you and I talked about it.
It's not Cooper Rush to the rescue, but you're saying Cooper Rush is going to be a disaster. I don't think so at all.
Well, I just don't think that I don't want to set up unreal expectations for the guy. Honestly, any backup quarterback on this team, I don't think would be very good. You want to know why? Because I saw their starter, who was being paid $60 million, not be very good. So you can beat bad teams. You won and beat Pittsburgh on the road. Fantastic. You got that one. Maybe it's a bit of an outlier.
You never would have seen that coming.
No, but that was a weird game. The weather, they were still rocking with Fields at the time.
So they'll have a couple more of those.
The Cowboys have beaten the Browns, the New York Giants, and the Steelers. That is not anything to write home about. It's not.
No, but that being said, like, they'll lose 24-17 with Cooper Rush. I don't think they're going to lose 41-7 to the Eagles.
Sure, fine. I mean, again, I don't care about style points. I just really care about what does it
look
like.
But they're going to lose 24-17 with Dak Prescott. I don't think, like, this team with Dak, the way they're constituted right now, wasn't going to win either. Especially if CeeDee Lamb is out. Oh, my God. But CeeDee Lamb, now, what's the latest? He's going to play, right?
It looks like he's going to play. Dak's going to be out multiple games. He's already been ruled out for the Eagles game. Let's hear a little. Mike McCarthy says he feels good about Cooper Rush facing the Eagles.
Our focus is really to go into this and have a game plan to beat the Eagles defense. And we have great confidence in Cooper.
Okay. More on Cooper's strengths.
Cooper Rush is as respected as a backup quarterback that I would say since Rich Gannon. He carries that type of credibility. You know, he's a great teammate. He's someone that, you know, you can see the young guys lean on. Wicked smart, you know, instinctive. Does a great job on it, you know, when he runs a scout team. So, I mean, he just does everything the right way.
Yes! Here we go!
Does he have the cadence?
Here we go!
By the way, are we still saying wicked? I haven't heard that one in a while. Wicked smart.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time I've heard someone use that term.
That's like our generation, millennials. We used to say wicked all the time.
I thought just Boston people said it, like the Dunkin' Donut ads.
Oh, maybe. We said it when I was like in high school.
Yeah, I think maybe people in Boston still do it, I feel like, but I don't know about anyone else.
Anyway, yeah, he can be as respected as anyone. That's not the point of contention here about Cooper Rush. It's that the Cowboys are just not a very good football team. So if your starting quarterback couldn't do a lot with this team, how is the backup expected to do anything?
Right, but I mean, nobody's arguing against you here. Was there a narrative that Cooper Rush is going to come in and save the day? I did not see that anywhere.
I don't know.
Yeah. No, the question is, will Cooper Rush perform admirably as a backup? Oh, definitely. He'll be like, I'm telling you, he's going to be like 15 for 27 for 178 yards, one touchdown, no pick. He'll have a few of those games.
Honestly, they should put Trey Lance in. See if you got a Hail Mary here with Trey Lance, if there's anything, because I know you're locked into Prescott. I get that, but I don't know.
I think whoever plays it, it'd be the best for the Cowboys that none of them play well, because they need to just put this season to bed and get a high draft pick. That should be their focus.
To take a quarterback?
A quarterback, but you could get a high-end wide receiver.
Oh, they need one of those.
A Travis Hunter could do both ways. Yeah. Get a corner and a DB in one. Like they need high-end talent. This is not a talented team.
They will draft a guard.
And then I don't think they will. Right? I don't think they will this time.
Will McClay loves his guards, and I think he's secretly running the show. He will take an interior offensive lineman with the number 3 pick. No, I'm just kidding. But they came in the season, like, you watch the Cowboys, you could be a kid who knows nothing about football. You could even be me. And you could tell, like, this team has one wide receiving target in CeeDee Lamb.
Why?
And Brandon Cooks is toast. So they came in the season and they did not get a compliment to him. They had no chance because of that. I don't even care about the running back situation. It's like, we all know Dak has one guy he can really throw to in CeeDee Lamb. And if you just cover him, which I don't understand how teams let him get open, if you just cover CeeDee Lamb, that team is toast, right? So this is like that all-in crap. I can't believe I even for one second bought that. Because they went all out this offseason. Now we're seeing the fruits of it. And I try to hold on to this Cowboys team. But that being said, like I'm honestly surprised that Micah Parsons has been out this long. That I'm very curious to see what his season looks like. Why? Because what if he just shuts it down?
855-212-4227. Waiting on that big contract. Andrew Bogish is here.
Awesome. Also waiting on that big contract.
I was going to say it, and then I'm like,
TikTok.
any day now.
Who's going to give it to me?
Cool Whaler sweater, dude.
Oh, thank you, dude. It's wicked cool.
Oh, yep.
Oh, you gave it away. We were debating, does EJ know the team that Bogus is wearing? But you weren't alive, I don't think, when the Whalers were a team.
I was really young, though, I think. I think they moved when I was like 4.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. There's like some old video games I would play and be like, who's the Hartford Whalers?
Mm-hmm. Oh, right.
You know, I'm like, oh, okay.
Got
it. We had their minor league team for a bit.
In Binghamton?
Binghamton Whalers. The merch wasn't as cool. Back to you, folks.
Do they do whaling in Binghamton? I didn't wasn't aware that there was any.
At the crossroads of the Susquehanna and the Shenango River, big whaling.
Yeah. Whaling, wasn't Moby Dick said in Binghamton? I can't remember.
Urban Melville, very depressed person also in Binghamton.
Your headlines are sponsored by Prize Picks. Football season's here, and Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. Download Prize Picks and use code MNP and get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states where it's lawful to wager. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
MNP.
It took a little longer than expected, but the Chiefs beat the Bucs on Monday Night Football to remain perfect this season.
Definitely scary. I think it hurt more just because it's the same ankle I rolled last week. So it scared me a little bit. But once I kind of took my breath and kind of calmed down a little bit, ended up being not too bad. We were able to go in there, kind of get the respat, and go back on the football field.
So I'm off and running. That was supposed to be a Kevin Harlan highlight of Kareem Hunt scoring the game-winning touchdown on Westwood 1. The Chiefs get a 30-24 OT decision over the Bucks. Hunt 106 yards in addition to the game-ending score. Patrick Mahomes, who you might know his voice of, threw 3 touchdowns, 2 to his new friend DeAndre Hopkins. Most importantly, he did not seriously injure his left ankle, as he just told you.
That was sweet.
The Bucks falling to 4-5, despite leading 17-10 through 3 quarters. They are 2 full games behind the Falcons in the NFC South now.
Question for you, man. Maggie Gray.
Yeah.
You notably cursed on social media on Sunday when Tyler Bass hit a 61-yard field goal. I could almost in my head hear you cursing when DeAndre Hopkins was making all those catches because he's clearly going to have a game-winning touchdown against your Bills.
Thank you.
Wow.
So where was the curse on social media? I was looking for it. I didn't see it. Because you have to admit, there were curse words flying in the Gray household last night. Like, how did they get that bleeping guy? Did that come through your mind once?
A little bit. No, it did. And if the Bills hadn't gotten Amari Cooper, who was hurt already.
That's what I said. Did he play Sunday?
He did not.
How'd Keon Coleman do?
Also bad.
Yeah, by the way, Amari Cooper and DeAndre Hopkins do not feel like the same thing to me. I'm not sure why.
No, Hopkins would have been wicked awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Hopkins would have been wicked awesome. Cooper's fine.
Cooper's fine. DeAndre Hopkins looks like a game-changing weapon.
Shocker.
But that being said, like, usually wide receiver trades of the midseason are not that impactful. This is an exception.
Perloff, you know, I'm choosing to focus more on my team, and I can't control what other teams do. So, yeah, it was more just like, just sad.
It does feel like you, in the past, it's interesting you say that. In the past, I've heard you say many things about those bleeping Chiefs. Now you're focused on the Bills, and last night you weren't screaming at your TV at any point.
No.
Just to be clear.
I was just resigned to this is the fate of, you know, living in the Mahomes era. When he tweaked the ankle at first, I was like, huh? The door opening? But no, first of all, you don't want to win that way. So, you want to beat someone straight up. And secondly,
trust me, you'll win any way you can win.
So, yeah. Maggie, when you wrote this tweet last night, how did anyone think DeAndre Hopkins wouldn't, and wouldn't is in all caps. Mm-hmm. That feels like an angry tweet. Wouldn't be a difference maker for the Chiefs. It doesn't feel like a non-angry tweet.
Well, I apologize for shouting. But I
just picture. Can you actually read that one dramatically? Let's hear it.
How loud is wooden to your head when you type
that? Is in your voice.
This is okay. So this is DeAndre Hopkins scores.
Yeah. Okay.
Finally. We knew that was a matter of time. All right, Manny, put the music down.
You might lose my screen.
Yeah, that's okay. So this is him scoring a touchdown. Me on the couch like this. I was not on the treadmill last night. He on the couch just going, how did anyone think DeAndre Hopkins wouldn't be a difference maker for the Chiefs?
Oh, that's it. That there was it. Is.
To an
there
empty room? You're shouting this? Yeah. I'm typing? Okay.
Yeah. No, my child nestled
right in
his bed.
They're in the bunker in the basement.
Visions of sugar plums.
Your husband, Maggie, once again, our son is asleep.
Yeah.
My husband's so scared.
It's a week 9 Bucks Chiefs game. No need to scream.
No, he's just like he's in a different room. Yeah. I'd love to say wing of the house, but we don't have that big of a house.
It sounds like he's like an engineer. You some kind of shanty in the backyard.
Soundproof box.
You just watch football outside, so the rest of them can have a regular life. Go to sleep. Eat a meal.
Regular life. I was born into this, all right? I was born into the darkness. You guys are just renting. What's that line from Batman?
Oh, come on. I'm a Philly fan. Get out of here.
You've seen championships. What's the line, EJ? I was born into the darkness.
Yes,
I was
born into the darkness. You merely were adopted. I was molded by it, raised by it.
Thank you. This is me. Haters. Who said that?
Bane.
Yeah.
You know who does Tom a really Hardy. Good Bane? Peter Schwartz.
Yes.
Kind of sounds like it.
Oh, yes. We've done those.
By the way, I have a Batman-related great debate, possibly.
That's interesting. Oh, I think I know what you're doing.
No, it's not even sports.
No,
just the greatest Batman? I heard this debate. I'm into it.
I heard a huge debate in a song, actually, about who's the greatest Batman actor. And I'm curious, it says a lot about you which Batman actor you like, I think.
I think you're going to say what's the best sports nickname after a skinny Batman.
Skinny Batman being number one. And so after skinny Batman, Devontae Smith on the Eagles is pretty, you love that one, EJ.
It's amazing.
Give a little love into your Bonnie Macarena.
Yeah, that's very Bane-like. If Bane had a sense of humor and Jones for free cupcakes, that would really be Bane.
We should have him do the reads.
Arena Football League.
Yeah. We should have him do the reads as Bane. M&P. Man-P.
Listen, Peter Schwartz is awesome in my book, not just because he's a fun guy, but he got us Jeff Fisher.
Victor Webinyama.
Here is Schwartz as Bane.
It doesn't matter who we are. What matters is our plan.
He's also the Count, apparently.
That's a bit Russian.
Two rubber duckies.
Was Bane from Transylvania?
Yes. You guys mentioned this a second ago. The good news in Dallas is C.D. Lamb's shoulder injury does not appear to be too serious. He's got a chance to play Sunday against the Eagles. The bad news is Dak Prescott, multiple week absence thanks to that hamstring. He's reportedly seeking second opinions on treatment options.
Why?
Christian McCaffrey back at Niners practice yesterday as expected. The team now has 21 days to return him to their active roster. Opening night in college hoops meant the debut of Cooper Flagg, 18 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists in number 7 Duke's 92-62 home win over Maine. Hunter Dickinson might be old enough to be Flagg's dad. He's still in college, 16 points, 6 boards as top-ranked Kansas handled Howard, 87-57.
Is he like AARP eligible?
Did he? Wasn't he on that Ramil Robinson Michigan team in 1989? I mean, what are we doing here? He's still around?
I was stunned when I saw this morning, and I thought I knew college basketball. I'm like, how does this guy still have a year? Because he was at Michigan for multiple years, and this is year two of Kansas. He has to be done now.
Yeah.
Was there another pandemic that we missed? Like, how many years are these guys getting?
He got a COVID year then. Is that what you're saying?
I think this is the last year of guys getting the fifth year.
By the way, I discovered a new college basketball player. You guys heard of this Cooper Flagg kid?
Yeah.
Who I'm claiming is only Andrew Perloff's Cooper Flagg?
No, never heard of who that.
If he keeps playing Maine every game, he's going to be a superstar.
Are they in the ACC after ACC expansion?
Yeah.
Maine, Maine put up a tough fight last night on the ACC network. I felt like I was the only one who actually found that game because I had to Google. I'm like, where is Cooper Flagg playing?
It took me 10 minutes to find where that game was yesterday. It was like, I mean, it's Duke. I know a lot was going on, but I was like, where is this game?
Last night it was only on YouTube.
Well, on Fox Sports, they just were jumping through Big East games. You want to talk about confusing? I'm looking for St. John's, and I see at first Xavier playing, and then I flip back, and then Villanova's playing, and I'm like, are they just not going to show one game? And apparently they weren't. It was just Big East action.
Oh, they're like, doing Red Zone.
Oh, Big East Red Zone.
Yeah. But Butler was in a nail biter, and they were doing, I could only see half the screen, and I couldn't even see what was going on. They almost lost to Missouri State. I was on college basketball last night, and I'll forget it exists in about 2 weeks.
That's opening day, jump tomorrow. On a bandwagon.
I was really excited, and I watched Juju Watkins in the afternoon. This is going to be a great college year.
Well, later on, we're going to pick our guys and gals for the season, and this is it, by the way.
Wow.
Whoever Perloff picks today, this is it.
Well, considering I know two men's players, Cooper Flagg and now Hunter Dickinson, I have limited choices.
We're going to pick our guys and gals. That's it. And that's who you're
on.
Is that
Baycott guy still at North Carolina?
No, but RJ Davis is.
Yes.
Get out of here.
I swear to God. And to Roy Williams. He's still there.
Bogish, thank you. EJ, you're a little off on the Bane quote.
No, I'm annoyed. You had me just like right off rip where my mind's nowhere near Batman. So I was close.
Andrew Kaplan cleaned it up in the chat. You think darkness is your ally. You merely adopted the dark. I was born into it, molded by it. I didn't see light until I was already a man. By then, it was nothing to me but blinding. Also, Buffalo Bills fans. Bane and Batman. 855-212-4227. See you guys on the phones. Want to talk about the game from last night. Also, the Cowboys situation with Dak Prescott now missing multiple games with a hamstring injury. Lots to do. It's M&P. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Welcome to the show. Got a lot to do. Jason Kelce apologized last night. We'll get to that in a minute. Our pal Kevin is in San Antonio. Wants to talk about the Chiefs and the Cowboys. Hey, Kev, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine. What's up, Perloff?
What's up, dude?
Okay. The thing about it, the Cowboys is like, as the world turns, as the star turns.
Yeah. Drama. All the time.
They got too much drama anyway. Let's go back to the Chiefs. The Chiefs with DeAndre Hopkins is the missing link of the Chiefs. They will go to the Super Bowl.
Yep. Kevin, I'm with you.
Hot take.
Honestly, no, but Kevin's right because that was a little bit of a hot take. Kevin, great to hear from you, pal. When all the receivers started going down. Now, we thought Rashee Rice might miss part of the season because of the legal stuff with the drag racing thing, but it turns out it was actually just going to be a more conventional injury. Hollywood Brown never saw the field. Isaiah Pacheco has got a broken leg, and he might come back at the end of the month. Just they're getting reinforcements. I think they are running the table.
I'm so confident. I would do a huge embarrassing show bet on this. They will not run the table.
Finally and shaving the eyebrow?
Obviously the odds are... No, I'm not shaving the eyebrow. But I do. I just feel like the fact that they are in every game. Every game. And they're such a run team. It's so funny. They're such a run defense team in 2024 NFL. How that happened, I have no idea.
Nate is in Alaska, wants to weigh in on the coaching decision. This was controversial. Todd Bowles at the end of the game, after Tampa had two opportunities to tie the game or to win it, they finally connect on a touchdown with about 27 seconds left and decide to kick the extra point instead of going for the W with a two-point conversion. Nate, what was your reaction when Bowles kicked the extra point?
Well, first off, you know I've called with you guys all the way up here being a Buccaneers fan, and I've talked about Todd Bowles. And you know who's not wicked smart? It's Todd Bowles, because you do not take that team to overtime.
Agreed.
You take that chance. You take that chance. You do not let them even get a sniff at overtime.
It's coaching scared.
Well, I'll tell you two reasons they did not, and tell me what you guys think. One, the ball was wet, and like you saw on the play before the touchdown, that went through Kate Otten's hands. I think they were nervous about that. But two, you had 27 seconds left. You would have been up one. If there's 27 seconds left and it's a tie game, you will think Patrick Mahomes will have mercy on you and just push it to overtime and win it there. If he was down 1 point, he was definitely getting in field goal range. I'd love to
take that chance more than trying to stop him in overtime.
That's not even a chance. That's a guarantee. There's no chance. That's a fait accompli. If you give him 27 seconds down one, he's scoring. If you give it tied, he's just going to run out the clock.
This is also the other thing that I was going to say, is because every single time that we have even a sniff of a lead, Todd Bowles does this soft zone defense, and they just rip it up the middle every single time. They did it with Atlanta as well when we went to overtime with them. And as soon as we went to overtime, they just rolled down the field.
Man, it's got to be frustrating, Nate. It does.
Why did they come after Mahomes? Mahomes had a hurt ankle, and like Todd Bowles, Mr. Blitz guy, seemed to be very comfortable sitting back in overtime and in the second half.
That's the other thing, and I'm not going to take much more of your time. One thing I have to say is just a quick question. What was better? Was it Barkley's back hurdle, or was it Wilson's catch this week?
Oh, man.
Barb, right. Oof.
Nate, thank you for that. I mean, the Barkley backwards hurdle, the birdle, that will be, I'm trying to think of the plays that are just run all the time in terms of like NFL highlights. Yeah. That will be in our lives
right. For
the rest of our lives.
Did you see the Nike ad? They turned it into a Nike ad. It feels like you just need one image. You know, the Garrett Wilson catch was probably a better play. Obviously, it was catching the ball with one hand at the very end of the end zone. I think it's going to be, you know how D. Brown putting his arm over his eyes became the Reebok logo?
Mm.
I feel like Saquon Barkley jumping backwards could be a shoe logo.
Ooh.
Like I would take a shoe with Saquon kind of in full, whatever that was, birdle.
If only Nike had a logo.
Well, they have Jordan, right.
I mean, they've got two of the most iconic sports logos, the swoosh and the Jumpman.
But I
Is
feel
there
like-
room for a Barkley?
I just feel like this is an iconic image. You're going to be able to see the outline, the silhouette of Barkley jumping and know exactly what it is. And there are very few plays. You know, I've seen silhouettes of Odell's one-handed catch.
Yep.
That was probably the most impactful play of the last 20 years because now every receiver catches a ball with one hand.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. What was the more impressive? Was it Odell or was it this one? Now, Odell's a touchdown against a division rival. You know, there's Garrett Wilson was a touchdown also, but Barkley's...
Saquon has been jumping over people since he was in college. This is so unimpressive.
Oh, Manny. Giant fan.
By the way, you know who jumps over? Arizona Cardinals tight end Trey McBride jumps over three players a game.
But does he do it backwards?
He could. He guy, like he should be in the NBA. He jumps over every single linebacker. So I'm with Manny. Like there are a lot of jump overs. The backwards part is pretty cool. And the fact that it works so cleanly, which I know EJ said he's tried it before, it just was perfect.
Was there a possibility of that going so wrong? And you know what I mean?
Like him
he really
hurt.
Got hit in the... Mm-hmm.
Or he could have just been flipped upside down and landed on his neck.
That could have gotten hit right in the...
Oh, they have protection.
He's already got a kid.
A lot of different answers to that question.